This is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter, Our Stories, which can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering at stutterrockstar.com, and is also freely available as a download on iTunes. Today, as always, I have the opportunity to meet with another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story. So I'd like to say hello to Hazel. Hey, how are you today?
Hi, Pam. I'm great, thanks.
I'm really excited to have you on the show.
Hazel. Thank you, Pam.
To get us started formally, could you introduce yourself? Tell us who you are and where you're from and what you do to keep busy.
Sure. My name's Hazel Percy. I live in the UK in East London. And my main job is working in an elderly care home, doing domestic work. But I'm also involved in public speaking and sharing my journey towards getting over stuttering with my local community. So I really enjoy giving occasional talks to groups in my area.
Oh, all right. How did you get involved in doing that?
Well, about 3 years ago, I heard about the Women's Institute organization, and I put myself forward to do an audition to become a speaker for them. And I had to give a half hour talk in front of a group of about 60 ladies who I had never met, and just give part of the talk that I would be giving if I was successful. So I did that, passed the audition, and since then, every so often I go out and talk for about 45 minutes to an hour. Sometimes I share about my experiences of stuttering, but also suggest some ways in which the general public can have a supportive attitude if they happen to meet someone who stutters.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's wonderful. How do you find the audiences that you speak to?
Most of the people afterwards really seem to appreciate what I've shared, and some of them come up to me and say, I never realized people who stutter had to go through all of that. And also, sometimes, one recently, a lady came up to me and she openly admitted that she had been doing all the wrong or all the unhelpful things when she had met a person who stuttered. But in her mind, she thought she was helping, such as finishing off the person's sentence or looking away, whereas I had said, actually, well, from my experience, I prefer it if someone is looking me in the eye as I'm talking, because then it helps maintain that connection, I feel, between the two people who are talking.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. I agree with you there. Maintaining eye contact helps us to keep engaged with each other for however long it takes for the person who stutters to get their thoughts out. But I'm interested in knowing, how do you find the groups that you speak to? Is it through the Institute?
Partly, yes. After I'd done my audition, I was put in this book, which has lots of speakers advertised, and so other organisations can contact the Women's Institute if they're wanting a speaker for a particular meeting. So really, these groups contact me because my name is in that book.
Okay, all right. Oh, okay, that's great, great. So what are some of the groups that you've spoken to?
Well, I've been to a retirement group of a chain store in the UK. Another one was, it's hard to remember actually, but I also go to church groups as well and give maybe 20-minute to 30-minute talks, sometimes about stuttering and sometimes other topics.
Okay, all right. So how long have you stuttered?
Ever since I was a young child, really. I remember having difficulty when I was about 4 years old at school. And what happened was, we all had to drink these bottles of milk. Maybe you've had a similar experience, I don't know. And one day I accidentally knocked mine over on the school table. And I thought, oh dear, I've got to go up and tell the teacher. So as I went up, I was thinking in my mind that I would get stuck saying the word I. So at the last minute, I switched it for a different word. So even at age 4, I was starting to view stuttering as something that was bad and was seeing speech as being difficult, and I was anxious about it.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing that you can remember back to that incident, that instant. I remember stuttering at around 5, but I don't remember the stuttering. I remember the reaction that I got from my father. So, but my actual memories of that are very fuzzy. So that's just amazing that you can remember that long ago. Did you have therapy as a child?
I had some when I was in my teens. Because as a young child, I only stuttered very occasionally. But in my teens, things began to get more difficult because I think I became more self-conscious about it. And I clearly remember one day things seemed to come to a head. And I was sat at home and suddenly I just started crying. And my mum was at home. And I just said to her, "Mum, I need help with my speaking." And that just all came out. And so she contacted the doctor and I was referred to see a speech therapist. But it didn't help at all. And in fact, my stuttering grew more severe as I was doing it, so I decided to discontinue with it.
Okay. And when did you start therapy as an adult?
Right. Well, when I was at university, I saw this course advertised, which was, it was run by a man who'd overcome his own severe stuttering problem. And I thought, well, he's done it, so maybe I can too. So I paid the fee, and I went up to Scotland and spent a week, and I was taught to nod my head with every syllable and join my words together very smoothly like this, but at half the rate. So it was much slower. And I came home and it did help. At home and with my close friends. And even I was able to do a Bible reading at church. But I think it should go down as the slowest Bible reading ever. But I couldn't always use it. And so gradually I let go of that and just returned to severe stuttering, really.
Mm-hmm. So today, as we're talking, you sound very much in control of your speech, and you sound very confident. Have you done something else since you let go of that other therapy?
Yes, well, when I was in my
May 3rd. I'm going to give my age away now. It was in the year 2000. I heard about the REIA program. And I thought, well, here I am. I could hardly speak with my husband. I was stuttering on the virtually every word. Honestly, I was so physically drained every day from trying to speak. And yes, at that age, speak to anyone was a real struggle. I often avoid speaking, and I was just coming across to people as this person who had little to say for themselves. I was so introverted. And I thought, well, this McGuire program, even if it helps me a teeny weeny bit, it will be worth it. So I thought, let's give it a go. So I did. And I think out of all the therapies I've had, that one has had the biggest impact on me, really.
What was it about it that you think had the impact that it did?
Well, it's the whole package, really. Using the physical postural breathing, I found helped me to get over the speech block. The using voluntary stuttering, or as the program calls it, deliberate disfluency, that also really helped me. And just being open with people that I have, if I stutter, and just not being ashamed of it, it's just the way I sometimes speak. And afterwards, just being honest with people and saying, hey, I've just been on a speech course. I'm speaking differently to normal. I also have a deeper tone than I did have previously, because I find that it really helps to take the focus away from the mouth, from the throat, where all the struggle often is when we stutter. And I was just saying to people and using my technique openly without feeling embarrassed by it, because compared to how I had been 5 days ago, I just felt like a new woman, really.
That's great. And you've been able to maintain that since then? You still use the techniques?
Well, I could have if I'd have chosen to. But a few years after that, I came across John Harrison's book, which at that time was called How to Conquer Your Fears of Speaking Before People. And I thought, here is a man who used to stutter and he no longer does. And I thought, how is he doing it? And I became interested in neuro-linguistic programming because in his book, he mentions it. And so I became interested in that whole area. And I thought maybe this can help me move away from dependency on my technique to be able to speak more naturally and in a more effortless way. So I joined the Neurosemantics of Stuttering email group, and which I'm currently a member of, and I decided to have a few therapy sessions with Bob Bodenhammer and Tim McAzee, who you may have heard of.
I have. I've heard, yes, I've heard of them both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I thought, how can NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, help me? So I think, I was hoping it would help me more than it actually did, really. But what it did help me with was in my mind, helping me to separate who I am as a person. So my identity with the stuttering behaviour. Because prior to having this therapy, I'd been thinking, if I stutter in front of this person, they'll think I'm stupid, or he, she might think I'm mentally retarded. And I personally believed that I was inadequate as a person because I stuttered. Also, I felt that if I stuttered in front of people, people might reject me because of it. So I had all these negative beliefs, perceptions going on in my mind every time I went to speak. So what NLP helped me personally with was dealing with all this negative thinking, so that I came to a point where I now accept that I'm an okay person, even though I stutter sometimes. And I no longer have any fear of rejection. I think, well, if I stutter and people reject me, either they have their own issues to deal with, or they aren't really worth being friends with anyway. So I kind of turn it around so that I just feel okay as a person, really. Yeah.
Do you feel as if you've overcome stuttering?
No. So just to go back to the NLP. So after that, I thought, well, even though I feel great inside, I'm still stuttering. So while I'd been having the NLP, I hadn't really been using my McGuire technique. So I thought, right, I'm going to start using it again, but this time I'm okay inside as well. But then there was another twist to my story, because maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I came across Ruth Mead, and who was someone else who used to stutter and no longer did. And I kept coming across, maybe every so often, other people who used to stutter and no longer did and no longer needed to use any technique at all. And I thought, how are these people doing it? Because my experience was, as soon as I don't use the Maguire technique, I start stuttering. So what am I doing that's different to what naturally fluent speakers do? So I couldn't understand it. Anyway, through Ruth, I heard about Barbara Dunn, who you've heard of, yeah.
Yes, I've met her,
and
yes.
She helped. Yes, you've interviewed her, haven't you?
Yes.
So I thought perhaps she can help me to make the transition from needing to use a technique to being able to speak more naturally fluently. So about a year and a half ago, I started having therapy with her. And I learnt so much from her, actually. She really helped me to see how I can so easily interfere with my own natural ability to speak, either by thinking ahead of what words I'm going to say, and then believing that they're difficult and the effort required to say them, or that I would be trying to force words out, control the articulation manually, whereas generally speaking, people who are naturally fluent speak without thinking, don't they?
Right.
And I was so I thought, well, how can I stop thinking about how I'm talking? Well, having therapy with her really helped me to understand how I was interfering, but actually it into practice, I found quite difficult. I could do it with her quite often, and I could speak naturally fluently, which actually was something I hadn't experienced since a young child. So even being able to do that for short periods of time, thought, wow, I can do this. Mm-hmm. Even if I can't do it all the time, I have the ability within me to be able to speak naturally, fluently. So I had therapy with her on and off for about a year and a half. And during that time, I actually did a whole Toastmasters speech, speaking using my natural way of talking without any costal breathing. And I thought, wow, but it's the only time it's happened. So even though her therapy helped me, I found it really difficult to speak that way consistently. And so the end of last year, 2016, I was just feeling really frustrated. So I thought, right, I'm going to go back to the Maguire physical technique and most of the psychological aspects. But I'm also going to move towards, when I go to speak, focusing more on the general idea of what I'm talking about, thinking about, rather than planning the words, thinking of words. And yes, so this is where I'm at the moment, trying to combine Maguire and elements of natural fluency.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like you have a really good handle on it, because like I said, you're speaking beautifully and with such confidence, and it seems like you're saying exactly what you want to say. You're a great communicator.
Thanks. I really enjoyed talking. And I mean, after having 34 years of really struggling to speak, even though I am using some form of physical technique now to help me, I really love speaking. It's a really fun activity to do. Mm-hmm. I love meeting new people. And yeah, it's my favorite hobby.
Now, you mentioned Toastmasters. Are you currently involved with Toastmasters?
Yes, I've been a member for about 4 years.
Oh.
I've done my first 10 speeches. But you might be surprised at this, but I haven't actually done the role of Toastmaster yet.
Really?
But I am actually, but I've decided to go ahead with it, and I'm doing it next week for the first time. So I'm just thinking, yeah, Hazel, go for it. And if you make a mistake, well, it doesn't really matter, does it?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. That's great. That's great. Because, I'm surprised after 4 years that you haven't been the Toastmasters yet. That was always my favorite part of the meeting, because I could just be extemporaneous and speak off the cuff, not like a prepared speech. So I actually did it often. I enjoyed it.
Yes, well, I'm looking forward to doing it, and I think it's like anything, it gets easier with practice and the more often you do it, really.
Yes, yep, I agree. So is your goal to overcome stuttering?
I think my goal is to reach a point of being able to speak as easily as I can. So maybe I will move forward to a point where I'm less dependent on the costal breathing. I don't really know, but yeah. So my goal really is to be able to enjoy speaking and to speak in an easy and comfortable way, really, more than anything.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. I think that's definitely been my goal over the last 7 or 8 years, is to just speak and be okay with how my voice sounds, and to enjoy speaking like everybody else does. And I think that's I think that's what communication is all about. Speaking and enjoying it and getting our point across.
Absolutely. Agree with you totally there.
What advice would you give to other women who are just starting their journey with their stuttering?
That is a difficult question, because we're all different, but I think that the more open we are with people about it, the better, because stuttering is just the way we sometimes speak. It's nothing to be ashamed of. We don't need to hide it. And yeah, I believe we can live meaningful, fulfilling lives, even if we do occasionally stutter.
What a beautiful way to wind things down. That's a very positive, inspiring message for people to take away from your talk. I really appreciate you sharing parts of your story today. I feel like we could talk longer because it seems like we've only scratched the surface. But what a journey you've had. It must be really exciting.
Yes, it is. Yeah, I mean, I've had times when it's been a real struggle, but to be able to move on from times of real struggle and experience, so you get greater freedom of speaking, is wonderful.
Yes, it indeed it is. One final question before we go. Going back to the beginning of the conversation, you said that you heard about the Women's Institute, and that's where you did your audition to do public speaking. What exactly does the Women's Institute do?
Well, in the UK, they run monthly meetings all over the country, and they're involved with social activities and fundraising to help various charities, I think, as well. But also every month they invite someone to come along and speak on any topic, really. So, I think it's mainly a social and helping others type of organization.
Okay. The reason I asked is that I don't think we have something similar here in the States. I've never heard of a women's institute or a specific women's organization. So I'm just curious about it, and I'm going to look into it for here. It sounds like a great organization for women.
Yeah.
Well, Hazel, thank you so much for being a guest. I've enjoyed meeting you and hearing parts of your story, and your journey is so inspiring. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you for inviting me. I've really enjoyed talking with you. It's been a really pleasurable experience.
And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.